You might want to rehydrate after hearing this story. You know what drinking lots of water and coffee can do. Well, now two Army scientists have discovered a way to get pure hydrogen out of urine. What good would that do? Well, I'm going to let them explain. Dr. Chris Darling is a researcher, and Scott Grindle is a team leader at the Army Research Laboratory at Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, and they join me now. Gentlemen, good to have you on.
Good morning here.
Dr. Darling, tell us what it is you're doing exactly, getting hydrogen out of urine.
Yeah, so our group actually specializes in developing nanocrystalline metals, which means that their grain sizes or their microstructures are very fine. And we specialize in a processing technique called mechanical alloying or mechanical milling to make powders. And we use this technique to develop a galvanic alloy that allows us to split water at room temperature into hydrogen without the uses of catalysts or acids or bases or other nasty players that are typically used to do the same sort of scenario.
And this would be something that would be done normally where, on a large-scale basis, what would be the application?
Application would be, so milling itself is also a very scalable process. They use it around the world, mechanical milling anyways, to generate tons and tons of powder a year. There are other techniques such as spray atomization, which is also very cost-effective, industry standard for making powders very cost-effectively. So with that in mind, you could use these large quantities of powder to run fairly large power generators that would be used to supply energy to, you know, large vehicles or drones or even potential camp bases and general electrical use.
So it could support a brigade, say, that's off the grid or far away or just wants that energy independence, in other words.
That's right. Now, I would say, you know, that's sort of like the pie in the sky sort of idea. What we're in a more realistic sort of local or near-term goal that we're looking for is to actually supply energy to the individual soldier that might be away or a very small group of soldiers that may be away on a away mission that would need to be resupplied. So although it could potentially be supplied to larger vehicles and camps and these sorts of things, ideally, at least now, we're focusing on supplying energy on an individual basis or a small group basis to an away team.
Okay, so Scott, tell us how urine figures into this.
Well, urine is naturally acidic, and so it's self-catalyzing the reaction. The soldiers on the away teams are you know, obviously away from all their supply lines, but the one thing they do always have is what we have naturally. So our idea is that they can use that and combine it with a little bit of powder that they can bring with them that stores stably, and then they can use that to recharge their batteries for their communication equipment or whatever they have and need to be recharged.
Well, you have to bridge the gap for us here. You you pee in a bucket somewhere. You add powder.
Correct.
Then what?
Ah, I see. Essentially what they're doing is combining the urine with the powder, capturing the effluent, which would be, the hydrogen. And then they will also, nowadays they can have fuel cells, which will use that hydrogen to transfer it to usable, battery power or voltage difference.
And how does the released hydrogen somehow get captured? Because I think of hydrogen as something that blows up balloons, maybe not so safely anymore, but a very, very light gas that gets away in a hurry. So
we can do this in any sort of pressure vessel, and it just has a, regulator to supply the fuel cell with the correct, amount of pressure. So essentially, it's a closed container where the reaction takes place.
We're speaking with Scott Grindle. He's a team leader, and Dr. Chris Darling is a researcher, both at the Army Research Laboratory at Aberdeen Proving Grounds. So I guess, is it fair to say that at this point, all you have discovered is the release of hydrogen by adding this particular powder to urine? But there seems to be that you still have to develop an industrial complex set of processes to be able to make use of it.
Absolutely. We only discovered this in January, and this the reaction itself is very well known. What we have discovered here is a powder that does it spontaneously by itself without other catalysts. So yes, we have no, you know, we're a research facility here, and we have no facility for manufacturing this powder on a grand scale. But we have collaborators and you know, corporation sponsors that are very interested in doing this just on that scale. Yes.
Sure. And what was it that led you to try this in the first place? I think I'll take this urine and add this powder and see what happens.
Chris is best suited for that. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, tell us.
Yeah. So you know, we were looking at how this material responds with fluids in general, and we started off with water and other things like sports drinks and coffee and such. And you know, the idea came up was is that, you know, that in addition to these sort of fluids that you would have that could react, some of them you would have to bring in with you, right? And so that's an actual a weight penalty. So we were looking at ways of like, okay, is it potentially that it could react with a fluid that you wouldn't necessarily have to carry in that would be considered as a weight penalty to the soldier? And so then we came up with the idea of using bodily sort of fluids such as urine and saliva and even potentially sweat and things like that that you could potentially collect. And so that's sort of where the idea of looking at urine came from would be, is, again, as Scott had mentioned, that this is a fluid that's readily available. You know, the soldiers have to bring in water to drink to stay hydrated. And so to try to make use of something that you wouldn't normally be able to use as an energy source is obviously a benefit.
You must be getting tremendous industrial interest in this discovery. I was, just to give you an example, recently I stood in line at very, very well-attended baseball games and had to spend a half an inning waiting to get to a urinal. And so when you consider 40,000 people in a facility all peeing at some point during that episode, there could be really large-scale application for this type of process.
Oh, definitely. And in addition to that, just, you know, the isolating of the urine, you know, is one thing. But, you know, any sort of, you know, water that would be used in a like a toilet flush or gray water, so to speak, could also be utilized. So, you know, you're talking about huge amounts of liquid that could be transformed into an energy source that you wouldn't normally be able to use.
Sure. Yeah. And what about the safety aspect of the release of hydrogen and capturing it? Because it is explosive.
It's explosive when it comes in contact with flame. It dissipates very quickly upon release into the atmosphere. So unless you had very high concentrations that were, you know, like say you were in some kind of a closed tent or something like that, and there was a large release of it, yeah, there's always a potential there. But in general, it diffuses very rapidly into the air, and you'd have to have, you know, some sort of an ignition source, even if you had high enough concentration. So, and generally, you know, if it's sealed and it's contained properly, there's not a use. In addition, I'll point this out, that a lot of these hydrogen devices are, as they currently run now, use pressurized hydrogen gas that are in containers that are pressurized at extremely high pressures. In this case, we would be generating just enough hydrogen to be used, so the amount of hydrogen generated could be controlled down to just the amount that's required to run the fuel cell, and it would be continually supplied at that sort of rate. So you're not dealing with huge quantities of hydrogen that would be stored, say, in a very large pressure vessel. You could basically generate what you need, at almost like a fuel line, so to speak, right? You'd pump in the amount of gas required, you know, to have the piston spark and go down once. Well, you could do the same thing with the amount of hydrogen. So we don't have to store large quantities. We could use it as it's produced.
The difference here is we don't have a giant fuel tank of explosive gasoline, if you will. We have two very safe products, you know, this powder and, you know, either urine or water. And it's only when you mix them together that it generates the hydrogen.
Sure.
So that can be done in a very rate-determined way, generating just precisely what you need at the moment.
And what is the next phase of your research here?
I would say some of the things that we're looking at is optimizing the powders. We're looking at the extent of reactions with different fluids. We're looking at, you know, we don't have to necessarily use pure aluminum. We can use aluminum-based alloy, so battlefield scrap, you know, could be potentially used. So we're looking at how the reaction kinetics change with alloy type, the chemistry. We're also looking at the stability of the powders. For instance, we recently ran some experiments. Some of these other sources, JP8 or other hydrogen sources that are available, are heat sensitive, right? So, you know, you apply temperature, you could potentially have an explosion. With these metal powders, we've been running some tests recently where we can heat them up to very high temperatures under, incendiary sort of atmosphere, you know, a device or like a high propane torch, which gets thousands of degrees, and we don't see any combustion or burning. So, you know, as Scott goes back to, you know, mentioning the tank, right, you know, you could potentially take a shot into a tank and not have to worry about any sort of an explosion or any sort of fire propagation. And so we're looking at the extent of the stability and other potential benefits that this material has over other sources that are available.
Chris Darling is a researcher, and Scott Grindle is the team leader at the Army Research Laboratory at Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
We'll post more information and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.